All right. Well, good morning again. We are we're going to have a series that I'm going to begin today about the gifts of the Spirit. And over the last few months, we've obviously been missing one gift being practiced, the gift of our senior pastor. And so but I want to let you know that we have been, for since about June or July, we've been talking to people on the phones and sorting through resumes and seeking counsel from people about where to look and things like that. And I'm not here to say that we found a new person yet. I can't say we've weeded out some people that wouldn't have been good for us, if that makes you feel any better. But some of you are, it's been fairly difficult to find the right person for a church our size, and really I want to say our quality. There are not that many people, I think, that are really a great fit for a church like ours. And so we want to make sure that you know we are looking for God's person for us. We're not trying to go too slow or too fast. We're just wanting to set our sails where God's wind is blowing, and whenever that person comes, we want to be ready for them. So when the last pastor left this church, Pastor Jeremy, about 8 years ago, for those of you who weren't here, this church grew during a time when there was no pastor on staff. And that was because those of you who were here were doing the work of the ministry. And you were sharing your faith in the community. You were inviting your neighbors. Not only were you inviting people, you were going to their house and you were picking them up. And so without anybody on staff, this church was growing. And that's because no church grows just because one person standing up here is using their gifts. The church and the kingdom grows because you guys are using your gifts. And that's the way the church is supposed to work and has to work. So keep sharing your faith, keep inviting people, keep building the church, because we can't wait for the new lead pastor to come to do ministry. Because because there's not a pastor up here using his gifts, that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be using your gifts. If you're not using your gifts, who's getting fed by the gifts that you have? So make sure that you're still exercising your gifts while we're waiting. And some of the other things that we need you to do, keep praying for the right person to show up. In my opinion, the sooner the better. We're looking forward to having that person here. Keep employing your spiritual gifts. Keep ministering to people. Stay positive while we're waiting. We know it can be, it can be a test of our patience as we're in a waiting time. But resist the temptation to get pessimistic and negative and to get into grumpy circles and things like that while we're waiting. Don't trust rumors. If you have questions, feel free to ask us. There's not secret things going on. One of the things that's been really important, keep dreaming about what our congregation should be in our community. There are still ministries springing up without a lead pastor here. There's a couple of people who have talked to me over the past few weeks about starting new ministries that are just, God is stirring people's hearts to do things in the community, and that we're excited to see those get off the ground too. And so, don't feel stressed that we don't have a lead pastor yet. Ministry is still going on because of you guys. We don't want to go too fast or too slow. We want to make sure that we have the person that has the right gifts for us. And I got a feeling that one of the reasons there's a delay is because God is wanting to raise you guys up to do some ministries that you haven't done before. And that's what happened when Jeremy left. People who had been maybe inactive in the church when Jeremy left, some of you guys stepped into positions that you'd never done before and started activating some gifts you'd never used before. So I think God's going to want that from people who have previously maybe not been that involved. I think God is going to raise some of you up to do that. So last week, we had talked about answering the big question of why we're here. And we looked at the book of Ecclesiastes, which was really kind of King Solomon's a mini autobiography. And in that short book, he chronicles all his different attempts to find out what would give his life purpose and meaning and joy. And we discovered that he looked in a lot of the same places that our society tells us we need to look to find meaning for ourselves. And so he did things like, he says, he tried to acquire more knowledge than anyone who'd come before him. He wanted to be the smartest guy and know the most facts and be the most decorated and most educated, things like that. He tried filling his life with pleasure, and he says, I didn't deny my eyes anything that they saw. So anything that Solomon wanted to do, he had entered into a time of really a hedonistic lifestyle where if he wanted to do something, he did it. If he wanted to say something, he did it. And he really did this a lot with women. Solomon had taken 700 wives and had 300 concubines. And through some of the Proverbs, we might also gather that he might have even had adulterous affairs and had some dealings with prostitutes. So he did what our society says to do. He did the if it feels good, do it thing for a while in his life. He tried giving his life meaning through drunkenness and wine for a good portion of his life. And he said he tested his mind with wine. And we see that in our culture too. There's some sort of undercurrent in our society sometimes that, well, if we're not drinking, if we're not getting high, well, there's no way we can have fun. There's no way we can have a good and joyful life without altering our minds. And so for a while, it seemed like that wine was really important in his life. He tried gathering a ton of possessions for himself to find meaning. And we do that, too. We start thinking the more things we own, the happier we're going to be. And the more well-known we'll be. And, you know, he had some of his possessions were about extending his legacy so people would remember him after he was gone. And so he gathered up as many possessions as he could. And Americans do that, too. We go out. We're a consumer-driven society where we just go out and buy the new thing, sometimes whether we need it or not, whether it works or not. We just go out and buy whatever the new thing is. We work hard, and then we just spend it as soon as we get it. And so that didn't satisfy him. He started just saving his money. He said, I started collecting silver and gold and having the treasure of kings. And he thought that, well, if I'm really rich, if I have a ton of money in my bank, maybe that'll make me happy. And so Solomon set up in this book all these different life goals, and he achieved them all. And after he'd achieved all of his life goals, he said, this was vanity. This was worthless. This was useless. He got everything that he wanted to get out of life, and he still said, I wasted my life. Until he gets to the end and he writes, what he found out was, my purpose is not to gather things and not to gather pleasure. My purpose was to fear God and obey his commandments. And that applies to all people, not just kings, but everyone. We're supposed to fear God and obey his commandments. That's our general purpose for life. That's our very general design, is to be connected to our Creator. That's the basic thing that everyone we do. And we try some of those same options. But we weren't created to just gather things. We weren't created just to gain money and pleasure and notoriety. We were created to have fellowship with God. And anything that is not being used according to its primary design is going to cause a problem. Like if you have a toaster and you're using it to put bread into it and make toast, well, that means you're happy and the toaster's happy. And probably the only thing that's not happy is the toast itself. But it's being used for its proper design. If you take that same toaster and try to make that a bathtub toy, it doesn't work near as well. Because that's not what a toaster is designed for. We're not designed to seek pleasure, to seek money, to seek possessions. We're designed to have fellowship with our Creator. And that's our very basic purpose. And so now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about our specific purposes. Because every person in the world's basic purpose is to serve God. But we all have different specific purposes. And those specific purposes are going to depend on where and when we were born. And what our physical and mental capabilities are. And maybe how much money we have. They're going to be specific purposes, the people that are in our lives and in our inner circle. They're going to influence what our specific purpose is. And for the believer, what really influences our specific purpose is our spiritual gifts. Because our spiritual gifts are going to lead us towards our physical tasks. So we're going to spend maybe 2 or 3 weeks talking about what the Bible says about the gifts of the Spirit. And I also want to say, as we look at the gifts of the Spirit, that sometimes this is a topic that is divisive in the church. And believers, unfortunately and sadly, bicker back and forth about interpretations of the gifts and which gifts are active and how you use them, things like that. And the ironic thing is that's the exact opposite of the purpose of the gifts anyway. The gifts are meant to build, and sometimes people with our egos and our preferences, we use the gifts as a purpose to divide. So as we're talking about things that may feel a little controversial to some people, let's just, you know, be friendly and respectful, talking to one another, respecting one another's gifts and their backgrounds and what they do. So we're just going to today briefly lay the groundwork for the series that's going to be coming up. So if you want to look at 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul writes, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now, we want to think about, why does Paul tell us that? Why is it important to Paul that we know what our spiritual gifts are, and really about spiritual gifts in general? Well, I've touched on a little bit. If we don't know our spiritual gifts, we don't know where so we're supposed to be focusing our ministry. We don't know where we're supposed to be serving and what our specific place in the kingdom is. It's easier to figure out what we're supposed to attack in our ministry if we know what our gifts are. Because if we don't know what our gifts are and we start going into areas that we're not gifted for, we actually make things worse and not better. If I really wanted to make our church look like a laughingstock, I would announce that I'm going to start a healing ministry and I'm going to be healing people as they come here. Well, that would ruin us because I don't have the gift of healing. And if I tried to practice a gift that I don't have, it makes things worse, not better. So it's important that I know what my gifts are and I stay within them. And I also got to know that my gifts are important to somebody out there. So it's also important that we understand spiritual gifts because we need to be able to recognize gifts in our neighbors. And we need to be able to help people to move forward in their gifting. When I was a very young believer, there were mature believers who came alongside me and they said, "I think I see pastoral gifts in your life." And so I thought I'd felt some of those too, but there were mature believers who were helping confirm my gifting to me. And that helped direct where I was going to take my life because I was getting encouraged, "Hey, I think this is your gift. I think you need to pursue it." And so we need to know about the gifts of the Spirit. So when we see our neighbors maybe fumbling, what am I here for? We can start saying, "Listen, I think I see this gift in your life, and you need to pursue those things, and you need to be practicing and exercising those gifts." So knowing about the gifts of the Spirit, understanding them, will not only help us in our personal ministries, but it's going to help our neighbors and our brothers and sisters be spurred on to do the things that God wants them to do in their life. And so next Paul writes, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." So Paul kind of writes, you know, there's going to be a lot of different varieties of giftings. We're not all going to have one gift. There's going to be all kinds of different gifts. 300 different people in our church, we're going to see all kinds of gifts expressed in different ways. It says there are different kinds of service. So there might be people that have the same gift serving in different places, serving in different times. You know, our ministry today is, I'm sure, different than it was 20 years ago. And it's different than it's going to be in 10 years from now. So our gifts will be adapting to the needs around us. And there also is going to be different kinds of working. There's going to be all kinds of different ways that we see the gifts of the Spirit expressed in the church while we're doing ministry. It's not always going to look the same. There's going to be all kinds of different things, but what the Bible says is they're all coming from God. All the gifts of the Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit, and they're to be used for the upbuilding of the church. So we have four pretty quick points here. The first one is, if you are a believer, you do have spiritual gifts. In case you wondered, am I a person that has gifts? If you called on the Lord, if you've been born again by the Spirit, you have spiritual gifts. Don't ever think that you don't have anything to offer, and don't think that you don't have a job to do. Because there is no spiritual gift that says, my job is to come and occupy a seat on Sunday morning and to watch other people talk and sing. That's not a gift of the Spirit. It's not a gift of the Spirit to go get in a little cluster after the service and say, "Well, I don't like what they said today." and critique other people's work. That's not a gift of the Spirit. Your job is not to just show up. God has given you a gift that you're to use. You're an important piece of the puzzle. And your gifts matter, even if you're a brand new believer. You have spiritual gifts. If you just believed on the Lord yesterday, you have spiritual gifts, and God has given them to you to use in the church for the upbuilding of the kingdom. Secondly, your gifts are important. And just because you may never get on this platform and hold a microphone or sing or give a speech, you may never write a book, you may never get a TV or radio interview, it doesn't mean that your gifts are not vital to the church. We need more than just pastors to operate the ministry. Sometimes pastors are not needed at all for the real ministry that goes on. If you start thinking about a person who is overcome by discouragement, do they really need a pastor to walk them through the Greek words in the book of Romans? Or do they need somebody with a gift of encouragement that's just going to come up and put their arm around them and walk beside them? Or if you see someone who is struggling with loneliness and feeling isolated, do they need to know the difference between Herod's temple and Solomon's temple? Or do they need somebody with the gift of hospitality to invite them over and talk to them over dinner sometime? That's what that person needs. They don't need a pastor. They don't need a sermon right then. They don't need a teacher. They need somebody who's going to love them. And Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? So you don't need to think, well, just because I'm never going to give a sermon, I'm not doing ministry. Just because I'm never going to sing a special, I'm not upbuilding the kingdom, because your gifts are important. God has given you gifts that you're supposed to employ in the sphere of your influence. God has put gifts in your life so that you can minister to the people in your area. And if you're not using those gifts, the people around you are probably being starved. God has given you specific gifts to nourish the people in your life. And so your gifts have to be used. Otherwise, these people are going to be wilting and withering away, because you're the only person who is equipped to feed those around you. So never think that your gifts are not important, because God put them in you for a reason. Number three, everyone's gifts are going to be expressed differently. And so this is where we need grace and patience with one another, because they're going to be people who are living out their gifts in ministry and ministries completely differently than you would do them. And you're going to see people doing ministries and you're thinking, well, they're not doing it my way, so they're doing it wrong. Because even people with very similar gifts are going to practice them differently. So don't be offended or angry when another believer is doing things differently than what you would do. Because the Bible says that the gifts are diverse and that the body is diverse. And we all have different strengths and we all have different weaknesses. We have different backgrounds. We have different failures that we're going to use as references when we're ministering to people. And so as other people are using their gifts, we want you to encourage one another. Even if you maybe disagree with how the gifts are being operated, even if you don't understand what's going on, always be encouraging one another. Don't ever tear each other down. Because point number four is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are always used to build others. When the Bible says gifts, it doesn't mean like a birthday package where I can open it up and it belongs to me and it's to be used for my good. The gifts of the Spirit are abilities that God gives us so that we can properly serve those around us. We're meant to use our gifts for edifying other people. And since people comprise the church, that means our gifts are to be used to build up individuals. We shouldn't be ever tearing anyone down. And we should be using our gifts to gather, not to scatter people. And in the same way that Paul writes that he doesn't want us to be unaware of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he also writes in 2 Corinthians that he doesn't want us to be unaware of the schemes of the devil. And he wants to remind us that the Holy Spirit is not the only invisible influence in our life. And the Bible says that we need to be able to recognize the difference between the working of the Holy Spirit and the schemes of the devil so that we don't fall prey to those schemes. So let's look at the schemes of the devil that we need to balance. Jesus says these are some ways that you can recognize if a leading in your life is coming from the Holy Spirit or coming from the devil. But Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when you see relationships and churches and lives and health and finances being destroyed, well, that has the working of the enemy at the root. Jesus said, I came to give you life and more abundantly. That's in our relationships. And that's, I'm not just talking about bank accounts. I'm talking about the quality of our life. He wants us to have a quality of life that is abundant. But the devil comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus says that the devil is the father of lies. So anytime there's a group of people that are believing a lie, it's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. The devil is, in his efforts to kill, steal, and destroy, the devil spreads lies in our midst. He gets people to hear lies and then spread them. That's how, you know, that's one of the ways that gossip gets whipped up, that rumors start becoming truth in people's minds. Jesus said that the devil, he steals the word from us. In the parable of the four soils, when Jesus is describing the devil stealing, he says, as soon as they hear it, meaning the word, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown. And then you remember in Genesis 3:1, where he tempts Adam and Eve by saying, when Adam and Eve were told, you can eat from any tree of this garden, just not the tree of life. And the devil comes along as a serpent, and he says to Eve, well, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Did you really mishear that? And he does that same thing to our hearts today. He starts whispering to us, you know, is the Bible really reliable? I mean, these people, they lived thousands of years ago. They were unsophisticated. They didn't have smartphones. They didn't have cars. They didn't have Google. How can they speak into my life in 2017? How can the Word of God mean anything to me? Why should I obey it? Because that's one of the ways that the devil kills and steals your faith, kills and steals your joy, is by trying to convince you that the Bible has nothing to speak into your life. He tries to tempt you. Did God really say that? How can I really trust the Bible to speak to me, to be authoritative over my life? And the devil is also in the Bible referred to as the accuser of the brethren. And so if you start getting into a place in your life where you're going around tearing people down and slandering people, or you're getting in groups tearing people down and slandering them, you know, slander is really assassinating a person's character. But also slander is the word in the New Testament where we get the word devil. And so if you're busy practicing slandering people, what the New Testament is saying is you're behaving like the devil behaves. Whenever you slander, the Bible says you are deviling. When you're using your words to tear people down, you are deviling. You're definitely not operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit when you're deviling against other people. It's the devil that goes about accusing us before God, the Bible says, but also stirring up accusations amongst brothers and sisters, trying to divide the church. Jesus prayed we'd be as one. The devil does everything he can to blow us apart into many. Those are the schemes of the devil. So if you're going around tearing people down, you're acting as an agent of the devil. And so we're going to be closing already, and we just want to remember that I want you to remember as we're preparing to start this series on specific gifts, and we want you to be able to look at these gifts as we talk about them and teach on them and say, yeah, I think that might be my gift. I need to start expressing that gift more. Or recognize, you know what, I've been doing something that I'm not really equipped for. We want you to learn about all these things as we're doing this series over the next few weeks. So, Father, we're grateful that you change our lives, you change our minds. You do that through your Spirit, you do that through your Word, you do that through the witness and encouragement of our other brothers and sisters. And we pray right now, God, that as we come out of this upcoming series, that we would all be prepared to serve your kingdom. We'd be prepared to serve the people around us. We'd be prepared to minister your gospel to our neighbors and to the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.